out, man. It's never affected the show.
Radio.
I've been on it.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
Copying JQ on there. Welcome to another Talking Sports with the 12th man, your boy. Man, it's coming from the gig. I'm a little tired, but again, I'm going to keep this going because that's what we do. That's what we do, fellas. We are ready. Are y'all ready? I'm ready.
Yes, sir. Let's
started.
Go.
Make it
again, you know, there's so many things to jump into. It's been an eventful weekend. And I normally have a clever winner system to say for the show, but I really don't have anything tonight, man. I mean, because, again, the Antonio Brown thing is, you know, on my mind, but I'm like, man, I don't know what to say about that. Rob giving joke text, man. That's why Cam did. That was hilarious, man. So we're having fun.
Yeah,
anyway,
that was tough.
Let's jump into
Wait,
this.
Which one?
Always, what about Cam? The real reason why he had an injury, man. That was pretty messed up, man. Man.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. Cam Newton did some pumps, man. That was terrible. But. Again, it's all good. It's terrible, man. Curtis and Gary, we'll get you guys as always. Let's check in with the fellas.
I want y'all to
another
be
great
Cam
Newton,
fellas.
No, we don't want that at all, man. That is far from the man. That's just, he's almost there. But anyway, JQ, how you feeling this evening, bro? What's going on? How you feeling?
Oh, I'm good, man. Just trying to get over a cold that, you know, kids go back to school, they get sick, and they give it to you. But I wish I didn't know that you didn't have to delete the show off with, because I was just watching TV. And apparently, Larry Johnson, the ex-running back from Kansas City, got into some trouble talking about Megan Thee Stallion. And he commits to go on Twitter and say, yeah, I didn't say nothing about her because I wanted to sleep with her because I've had better. And he goes on to list famous chicks that he has slept with. I said, come on, Larry Johnson. you can't do that, brother. You just cannot do that. So, yeah, if it hasn't blown up already, it's gonna probably get some little airtime here in the next day or two. I'm just guessing because you just can't do that.
Unbelievable.
Man, that is intriguing. I got to look up now. I got to figure out what's happening. Anyway, let's have some fun. Man, Rob, can you top that, bro?
Nope, I'm not going to even try.
Oh, man.
I literally saw that like 4 minutes before the show started.
Wow, that literally woke you up.
Yes, it will. I said, Larry Johnson, what are you doing, bro? You cannot do that. You know they're going to come for you on Twitter. Why would you do that? He's on another level. I don't know what's happened to him since he stopped playing, but wow.
He's an habitual line set, just like Rob.
I don't know if Rob is that bad. That's crazy.
Is this Grandma Ma Larry Johnson?
No, Larry Johnson, the running back from Kansas City.
Running back, played for the Chiefs. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. You got to think it's Rob. You got anything to say, I guess.
Yeah, something with that way.
Nothing to say after that. Just ready to talk to sports.
All right. Let's get this party started as always. Let's throw out the numbers for those that want to reach out to your boys. And again, Curtis and Gary, stay tuned, man. We're going to start off the show with you guys talking about your boy, Dak. We'll jump into this really quickly. Let's throw out the numbers as always. If you want to call into the show, the trigger has no heart, as always, but 424-243-9519. That is the show number. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at number 12, THMAN Sports, which stands for 12th Man Sports. Go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you put in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us as well. All right, gentlemen, let's get this party started here. We're going to kick it right off. and a lot of love to the West Coasters. And I guess right now, is Dak Prescott a top five QB in the game right now? This is for Curtis and Gary. You guys can do that, and you guys can also – we'll talk about the Rickett win over the Dolphins, which, you know, again, it's like a bum fight, as JQ likes to say. Well, not a bum fight. Back. Basically, Dallas had it pretty much in hand.
There's
but,
one bum in that
you know,
fight.
So, yeah, the one bum was the Dolphins. But, again, I was basically saying the fact that they just handled the bum. But, anyway, Curtis and Gary, the floor is yours, guys.
Well, I'm on here by myself. It's Gary. You know, once again, it's great to be here. Curtis is on his way. Is Dak Prescott a top five quarterback in the league right now? No, he's not. He's not a top five quarterback. He's not a Brady or a Mahomes or any of these top five quarterbacks. Is he a quarterback that can lead a team to a Super Bowl? Does he have that ability with players around him? Yes. Those top three, top four quarterbacks can take lesser talent and make things happen with them. You know, Brady, you can plug and play pretty much anybody with him, but he's the GOAT, you know. So I don't believe that Dak Prescott is a top five quarterback. I think he's a top 10 quarterback, but he's not a top five quarterback in the league. As far as
for this year,
you know,
for this year though.
Yeah, I'm talking about for this year, for right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe he's a top five quarterback.
Okay.
I believe in him. I believe he has that it thing about him where, you know, he can lead a team. You know, he's a great leader, great person, doesn't get into trouble. Now he's got his offensive line back. He's got Zeke back. He's got, you know, receivers around him and a team around him. And I think he's doing a fantastic job. You know, some of these young guys, they're good as well, you know. But no, I don't put him as a top five, maybe eight right in there. But if I were to recap, and what's your take on that? I'd like to hear that from the group. But what's your take on that? Does anyone here think he's a top five talent right here with the injuries that, you know, and this sort of thing? You know, Breeze is out and that sort of thing.
Go ahead, Rob.
I think so far this year. I mean, obviously it's only three games, but I think so far this year he's playing like a top five quarterback. But I understand what you're saying. I would not say he's a top five quarterback just yet overall. But I think, you know, if you say so far this year after three games, it's a short window. He's definitely playing like a top five quarterback so far this year. And you have to, as of right now, you have to put him in the MVP conversation after three games. Now, that's a short sample, right? And so obviously you don't award MVPs after three games. But after three games, you could say that so far this year he's definitely in the MVP conversation. And if you're in the MVP conversation so far this year, you definitely have to say he's playing like a top five. But obviously, when you look at career span, obviously he doesn't have the career of a Tom Brady. He doesn't have the career of an Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't have the career of the injured quarterbacks right now, Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger, and several others for that matter. And obviously Patrick Mahomes has just been a starter for 2 years. Man, I tell you, that kid looks like he's playing on easy mode than Matt.
Yeah.
It's just easy. Everything's coming easy for him. But I think you got to give credit where credit is due so far this year. But I think overall you can't say he's in the top five just so far this season.
The fact that Patrick Mahomes had to go to Texas Tech and he comes into the NFL and does that is just mind-boggling. But I'm in agreement with you two guys. And the other piece we didn't touch on, I mean, you can only play who's on your schedule, but you're talking about the Giants who should have lost that game. I mean, Tampa had a kicker, Washington, who still has not won, and you talk about the Dolphins, who are a full-blown dumpster fire. Now, you got to beat the guys that are on your schedule, and he's looking pretty good, you know, the first two. I mean, I think they kind of slept walking against Miami because they knew they were going to win that game. That happens from time to time. But so he's doing what he's supposed to do, but he's doing against some really bad competition here to start this year. But he has impressed me. He's gone out. You can tell that he's leading that team. He's making throws. He's making throws in the tighter windows that I don't think he didn't used to do maybe last year or the year before last, where he's got a little bit more confidence in that arm and in that system. And they just have opened it up for him, and you can't say enough about that. He's playing phenomenal ball. He's got his name in that conversation, but I don't know if I can put him in the top five. Yeah, I definitely think you're right, though, Gary. You put him in the top 8 to 10 right now. Yeah, for sure, the way he's playing. He's playing bad competition. He's taking advantage of it. And there's a lot of quarterbacks that can play bad competition and not take advantage of it. So I'm going to definitely give him credit for that. But, you know, if he was doing that against, you know, top five, top 10 defenses over the top three, then I would be more impressed with it. But so far, so good. You know, his campaign to get paid, I mean, every game that goes by, he does that. That check just gets bigger and bigger. So I don't know what Jerry Jones is ever going to do. I don't know what their plan is, but, you know, they're going to make it hard on him the way he's playing ball right now.
Well, he is going to get paid, and he's going to get paid well. That's for sure. As far as going through this Dolphins game, you know, one thing that I did like is when your backup running back also gains 100 yards, that's a good day. You know, that's a really good day. So Zeke ran well, you know, Pollard ran well. And, you know, and they did what they were supposed to do. They won, you know, they handled business against a lesser opponent. But those are the games, you know, over the course of my football, you know, life as a fan, is those are the ones that you worry about. You know, you're always going to get up for those big games, but it's those letdown games. So that's what I've been happy with, that they haven't let their foot off the gas.
The first half of
what's that?
I said the first half they did a little bit, then they got in the locker room and said, "What are we doing?" Then they came out and did what they were supposed to do.
But you know, it ended up being what we wanted it to be. We wanted a good performance. We wanted that whole thing to happen. We wanted to beat that spread and get that victory. And you know, I hate those games where all of a sudden that team that's the worst team in the league goes up against a team like the Cowboys or whoever the hottest team is, you know, at the time. And then they play. It's like their Super Bowl. And every one of us on our sports teams, we've experienced that. We've had that happen to us. So I got Curtis here on the line. He's with me now. So Curtis, do you think Dak Prescott is a top five quarterback right now in the league?
Maybe not top five, but he's in the top 10.
Okay.
And what he's doing is he's learning. He's still learning. And he's going to get better. And what is going to happen with Dak, he's going to be the leader. They're making him the leader. And he's got great leadership qualities. Now, when they all buy in, and they should start all buying in, because that's a team, it's Super Bowl or bust for the Cowboys right now, because they are firing on all cylinders.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good.
All right.
The one thing you got to be impressed about the Cowboys is their front office did a fabulous job over the offseason. I mean, you talked about Tony Pollard, you know, having a 100-yard game. I mean, you're talking about a fourth-round draft pick that they were able to acquire him. I mean, and then some free agent moves, too, and some trades. Robert Quinn is having an impact. Randall Cobb is having an impact. And then defensive tackle Christian Covington, who they acquired from the Houston Texans in offseason, also having an impact. And then when you add the fact that they have a talented roster, they made some quality moves in the offseason. So they're definitely a team that's going to be a force for the rest of the season.
Well, when you with the Cowboys, when you go back a few years, you go back when the Cowboys started drafting these offensive linemen in the first round, their first picks, you know, were offensive linemen, and across the you know, across all these podcasts and radio stations, they made fun of the Cowboys for a while with that. They talked about that and, oh, yeah, you know, you've got to draft this skill positions, you've got to do this. But now you're seeing other team, more and more teams do the same types of things because they're realizing that, hey, that was a shrewd move. It wasn't a dumb move to get the beef up front. And it protects a guy that's, a system quarterback like Dak is. You know, so that's – I think it's a great move that they've done. And I believe that they've made a lot of really good moves over the last several years to be at least in this type of a conversation where they're at now.
Well, one of the things I want to say real quick, I want to say that in the past, I always thought Jerry Jones meddled too much. And I always thought Jerry Jones, you know, bothered things and disrupted some things with his style and grace. And I think what I've seen lately, Jerry's not meddling as much, and he really has faith in the people in the front offices, where you say, and the other coaches and the scouts to get him what he needs, and he needs to win, and he needs the Super Bowl.
And make it more, the offensive coordinator has done wonders for that offense this year.
That's the thing.
Tempo and Cornell has been phenomenal. So you're right. They're doing a good job in that piece of it. But opening up that offense by hiring him, I mean, it's almost night and day. You can see it in Dak's confidence, just with his ability to read coverages and everything that goes with it. It's been phenomenal. I give him credit.
Yeah. Robert said that all the time.
They should change the Cowboys field to the blue football field, like Kellen Moore played on in Boise State.
But that's the thing, Rob. You said it. You said a couple things earlier. You also said that there are no cupcakes in the NFL. So, I mean, we could talk about, you know, they're still an NFL squad. I mean, they're still going to be talent, you know, whatever. But they should win that game, but still they're in the NFL. So, again, you get, like as everyone said, you got to beat who's on the schedule. Definitely the Cowboys have done that. And you mentioned it too, JQ. Whenever you give a guy that clearly is offensive, you know, right now he's looking like he's going to be offensive, you know, genius right now, that he's allowing Dak to make simple reads and things that, you know, he had the backup guy, like I said, get 100 yards. That's crazy. And again, Ezekiel, you know, now he's not – you're not as focused on Ezekiel. Ezekiel is definitely a part of the Cowboys. But, again, you have some more balance to that team because Dak is playing confident. And then, obviously, you know, he's the ball out too. So, again, you definitely want to give a shout-out to Kellen Moore. If you are Jerry Jones, you better lock him up because right now the way that he is doing it, he can be a huge candidate to be an offensive coordinator and then obviously somewhere down the road be a head coach. So that's something that you may want to consider. I will actually kind of say that it is interesting, and as a Falcon fan, not to try to like do this, but it's interesting because I think offensive coordinator is very huge. I think that makes a huge statement. If you have a coach that can scheme a squad to success, that I think is overrated 100%. I go back to us whenever we had Kyle Shanahan, man. That dude was able to scheme. I mean, he's doing it in San Francisco. And you can talk about him being, you know, an asswipe or being a narcissist, but whatever. I think he's able to – he basically said, you're going to run my plays. This is what it is. Deal with it. And I think that's happened with Falcons now because we don't have that person because Matt Ryan's kind of picking his plays. You can't do that. You got to have somebody above you that you're going to run this play no matter what. So having a person that knows how to call plays is, I think, it's very underrated, man. So that's something I will say that goes a long way. And I was thinking about this, Rob, too, because I remember we went back in 2008 and we were going back and forth and I wanted to draft Glenn Dorsey, Lord have mercy. And Rob was like, Dre, Falcons was going to draft Matt Ryan. I had to like suck with that. So it's just funny how things have evolved to this point. And I'm looking at how, if you have a good offensive coordinator, how that definitely changes the course of how your quarterback is going to play. And I know I'm not trying to like just throw the Falcons in there, but I'm looking at that. So I'm like, we'll get a quick assessment because I'm a Falcon fan. I'm not a fan of Matt Ryan. But again, I'm looking back and I'm like, man, I know that sounds weird, but it's showing itself now, man. Because again, if you have a coordinator that knows how to scheme things open, it changes things on that. And I think it's happening to Dak right now. Dak is able to, you've got a coordinator that says, okay, this is what we're going to do, open up the offense, and now he's able to confidently do that. So that's just kind of an interesting thing as well, too. So that's my little season on that, too.
And I think, you know, when you talk about Dak Prescott and Matt Ryan, when you right now, if you just compare those two quarterbacks and you want to know what the difference is, you talked about it, play calling. That's
yep.
one.
Mm-hmm.
But even bigger than that is offensive line. And
that's a good call,
I mean,
too.
When you look at the Cowboys offensive line versus the Falcons offensive line right now, it is just night and day right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do so much more when you have a dominant offensive line.
Yeah, well, we haven't been figured it out. I still feel like we can do something better. But anyway, let's talk about another interesting game, guys, the Rams and the Browns. And everyone was jumping on the Browns bandwagon because they started getting all these weapons. And then now it seems like the Browns are kind of taking everyone's kind of best shots, or they're kind of falling under expectations. So let's talk about them, your thoughts, JQ. And then I guess it's an interesting question, too, because – you know, again, there's some shade being – not shade, but there's some interesting stuff being thrown at Baker Mayfield right now, too. So I'm kind of curious how that plays out. I know you can't wait to talk about the Browns. Go ahead, JQ.
Well, the thing about it is that sometimes it's too much too soon. Like, if you're watching football on Sunday, I don't know if it's for you guys, but Baker Mayfield is in every other commercial. And it's like, you know, he had a decent year last year, but Lord have mercy. I mean, he's got national commercials out the wazoo. I know what some other guys are looking like. This dude ain't done nothing yet, bro. And I've been playing and busting my hump, and I can barely get one ass commercial. You got like three or four of them that come on routinely on not just during the football on Sunday, but throughout the week. So, yeah. So when you have that, I wonder, you know, how much of his offseason was reveling in the celebrity and what he did last year? How much was it in terms of getting better and preparing for this year? And right now, they talked about the Jets, I think, gave a lot of people the game plan. They may not have the ability on the offensive side of the ball to hold up, but that whole disguising coverage is making it look like man and dropping into zone, or making it look like zone and going into man and confusing him. And he was having a tough time with that. And he's really locked on to, you know, making OBJ, you know, the man. And it's like, dude, you still got other weapons you got to get involved in, especially in Landry, who's not really done a whole lot opposite him, who I thought would have a good year with all the coverage that OBJ has gotten. It's really with Baker. And I think it's just upstairs mentally. He just, you know, I think sometimes he feels a rush when it's not there. And he gets locked on to OBJ. And, like, you got other weapons that you got to be able to use. So it's on Baker. Like I said, I don't know if it's too much too soon. I don't know how focused he is on the game of football. You know, like, he needs to be with these weapons and all the expectations. But I believe it was Gary who talked about it last week. That schedule is daunting moving forward. He's not going to get, you know, that Giants, Redskins, Miami Heat three in a row to kind of get right. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to hurry up and figure it out on the fly, get some good teams. So, you know, they're only going to go as far as he takes them. I think he's got to get locked and loaded back on the football and spreading that ball around and reading it, going through his progressions a whole lot better than what he's doing right now.
Yeah. But yeah, I totally agree. Baker Mayfield is a big part of this, you know, why the team is 1-2. But I'll even go a step further on this. Freddie Kitchens, is it too big for him? And I'm also thinking it's too big for him. As a head coach, is he ready for this type of role? I mean, you got to remember, Greg Williams at the end of the year had that team playing pretty well last year. And they gave the job to Freddie Kitchens because of his relationship with Baker Mayfield. But I'm wondering if this is too big. Being an offensive coordinator and being a head coach is two totally different things. And I'm not so sure he's ready to be a head coach on this stage. I mean, shucks, 4th and 9 and the game's at a critical situation. You call a damn draw play? Like, 2 yards?
That was a phone in, bro.
We're going to surprise him.
Surprise!
Come on.
Yeah.
You should have heard my dad. My dad was going nuts.
My wife, who watches football, but is not a football aficionado by any stretch. We're watching the game. She said, did they just run a draw on 4th down? I said, yes, they did. Okay, so, you have that kind of stuff happening, yeah, that's just a bonehead call.
Not 39.
Hey, guess what, guys?
Not 39 when you're just trying to run the clock out. But 4th and 9, you're losing.
Right.
And you get 2 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, That was one of the boneheaded decisions I've seen in a long time in the National Football League. And so it's got me thinking.
That was hilarious. Horrible.
Yeah. And then you talk about Freddie Kitchens' bonehead play, and then when you look at the line of scrimmage of that game, the Rams dominated the line of scrimmage of that game, both sides of the
Aaron
football.
Aaron Donald was just
in the trenches. And Cleveland defense played hard. Cleveland had a lot of injuries in their secondary in that game. Denzel Ward's out the game. They had a lot of injuries, but they really competed and kept that game close. But the Rams in the trenches won that football game. Again, competency of Freddie Kitchens as a play caller and Baker Mayfield, the combination of those things cost them that game. But the Rams, the overall, the Browns defense really competed. But they did get whipped in a line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that the post-game comments that the coach was making, that, you know, that the quarterback was making and that, you know, and I can't wait till they lose about four or five more just for the post-game comments, you know. That guy was just trying to act like he's Bill Belichick or something, you know. He's getting all... You know, Bill Belichick, like it to me, it looked like it's like, you know what? How about win something first? You know, but he was just nuts. Even that was crazy. And remember, I told you this is just like that person that wins that lottery. Remember, with that new money, they've gone through it, and midway through the season, they're going to be broke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you guys remember last week, I told you, who the hell is going to block Aaron Donald?
Yep.
And one of the things, now this goes back with bonehead moves, and I think the owner's name is Jimmy Haslin, and I heard today that he is the biggest booster of the underachieving this program in college. He's the biggest booster at Tennessee. And Tennessee has underachieved for, I don't know, is it a decade or two, ever since Condris Holloway left there. It's been a long time since Tennessee, you know, they've been relevant. So, but what I'm going to say, look what they did. Their best offensive lineman from last year, they traded their best offensive lineman for last year for Olivier Vernon, the New York Giant, that hasn't had a sack in, I think, four seasons. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you go get all this perimeter help, but, like, football is one. Every intelligent football person knows football is won in the trenches. It is won in the offensive and defensive lines. And if you don't address that, which I'm saying Cleveland did not, this is what you're going to get. And the other point is Kitchens was a coordinator, and just being focused on being a coordinator and being a coordinator of Baker Mayfield, just having that single focus could help. But now you put him as the head coach, and now he's got to worry about timeouts. He's got to worry about backups. He's got to worry about the whole nine yards, and he still wants to be the offensive coordinator. He's over his skis. And, okay, I can't say enough. The next 5 games they got coming up. You can see what kind of coach he is, because he's going to have to keep this ship together, because it's going to be a nightmare.
It's already a leaking.
When did
there's a lot of good head coaches that call their own plays, but I'm not sure if Freddie Kitchens is ready for that yet.
Yeah.
No.
When did Joe Thomas – when did he retire, Joe Thomas? When did he retire? Did he retire, like, the year before? Or
2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yeah,
okay, cool.
Very recent.
That was – okay. Yeah. I know that had something to do with – I know that offensive line. Yeah, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joe Thomas just made a statement, I believe, a day or two ago about, you know, obviously the chemistry – it's obvious. I mean, Stevie Wonder could see it. the chemistry is just not there for the Browns right now. And that was a statement that Joe Thomas just made another year or two ago, but it's very obvious.
Captain Obvious over there. Gotcha. Gary, did you have anything else to add to that?
Oh, no. No, we've done enough Baker Mayfield trashing.
Baker Mayfield's going to call in the show and try to defend himself here pretty soon. Anyway, let's keep
and that would be a good And that would be a good thing. Come on, Baker. Come on.
I agree with JQ. Call though. I was looking at the shows. And having that's a hilarious commercial with him, like the Cleveland Stadium is his home. That was pretty funny.
Right.
But I'm like, dude, man, how many commercials does this dude have? And I agree, it's too much too soon. I mean, you know, it's like, whoa, pump the brakes, you know, start doing some things first before you start going. And so, you know, early success, and they got to realize that, you know, everyone's about to get their best game. Speaking of a squad,
best player on that team.
Yeah. Speaking of another squad, and I'm going to kind of tie this. I know we're going to do fantasy shout-outs a little later, but I am going to tie this back to JQ. JQ, to mess around, what receiver did you pick up? Damian Robinson on all leagues. Good job, bro.
Yep.
I appreciate you doing that too, man. You know, so this joker messed around and picked up all the – he picked him up in every single league. I'm like, damn it. You know, so anyway, bro. I'm just going to say that really quickly, man, because I think he's trying to get me. But in the interim, the way the Chiefs are playing, you do have to follow the good offenses. So let's talk about the Chiefs, how they're going to finish. I am very high on this squad, man, without any injuries. I know there are some challenges that they had, you know, as far as missing Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, but it seems like it's plug and play. And again, right now, you know, Andy Reid has to get that monkey off his back as far as the, you know, the playoffs and stuff like that. But, you know, the way things are going, it looks very promising. They could be in the AFC, obviously, playoffs and championship game right now, the way they're playing at right now. So what are your thoughts about that, JQ? And we'll keep it going as always.
Yeah, so I was looking at their schedule. I mean, I'm not really considering too many people in the AFC West. They just are. That was very impressive against Baltimore with a good defense for Lamar Jackson. They had a really good game.
Yes, it was.
And you talk about that wide receiver, Robinson. I only didn't start him because I was watching ESPN Countdown and was raining to beat the band in Kansas City. Then it stopped right at kickoff. Mm-hmm, I had already set my schedule and walked away. But that's neither here nor there. I look at the schedule. They've got the Packers and the Vikings in back-to-back weeks in the late October, beginning November. That's two tough ones. And then they also get the Patriots. You got to consider that one. Then that Bears defense. I don't know about Trubisky quite yet, but that Bears defense is the real deal. To me, those are really the only four games that I look at to say they might have a chance to lose. I'm looking at the other ones. I think they can beat the Texans. They're going to beat everybody in their division for me. I don't think anybody there is really going to even be able to hold a candle to them. So them already being undefeated, and you're talking about four games I'm looking at. So if I split the baby and say they win two and lose two, what's that, 14-2? I mean, it's hard not to see them not going 14-2 with the way they're doing it, barring any significant injuries. And then you're going to get Tyreek Hill back, and you're going to get your other running backs back and add them to that offense. Good luck in AFC. That team is fully loaded with a young quarterback that's going to be, unless they have some of those kind of Cleveland-type problems with chemistry and things kind of splintered that locker room, our injury, I just don't know how anybody outside of New England for real, is going to give them a chance and a chance to beat them in the playoffs.
Yeah, Pat, as I mentioned earlier, Patrick Mahomes, watching that kid play, man, it's like he's playing on easy mode on Madden. It's just like everything is just easy to him. I mean, it's like no one can stop him. Unbelievable. And I agree with JQ. At worst, I see a 13-3 season, at worst. And could very well be, you're looking at a team that's going to be somewhere between 13-3 to 15-1. I mean, that's the kind of ballpark you're looking at with this football team. That being said, I think they make it to the AFC Championship game again and lose to the Patriots. And and just Bill Belichick just has that kryptonite. And I think they will be the team. And I think they will be
all day. I'll be on it.
They'll be the only team I think they'll be able to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. And I know a lot of us and I picked the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl before the season, and I'm already changing that.
Why? Wait a minute. Well, let's delve into that for a second. Why? What has made you change that off of what you've seen from them? I'm curious to why you would say that.
Number one, defense. The Patriots defense is better than it was last year. And they're still going to put up points, and their defense is better than the Chiefs' defense, and that's their secondary, really on all three levels of their defense.
The Patriots defense is, like I said, from you look at the second half of last year on to now, their defense is dominant. It's quietly dominant, too, because still a lot of people are not talking about it. But that's going to be the difference between the Patriots and Chiefs, and that's the reason why I have the Patriots going back to the Super Bowl as of right now.
Okay. I was just wondering. I was like, that Chiefs team is playing as advertised, so why 3 weeks can change it?
Team, man. And like I said, Patrick Mahomes looks like he's playing on easy mode. It's like, you know, everything's just easy to him. You know, you play on easy mode in Madden, you score 105 points on Madden. That's the way Mahomes
plays. But the thing about it with New England, too, is that they've gotten the Jets with a third-string quarterback, and they've gotten the Dolphins in two of those games. So, yes, agreed. I've taken New England defense in a whole bunch of leagues because I knew they played in that division for six games. They're going to get some really good chances to get some easy money out of that defense. But I don't know if they're as good as we've seen just because they're playing some horrible, you know, you're playing freaking Falk for the Jets.
You played the Steelers when they had Roethlisberger and they held them 3 points.
That's true. I'll give you that one. The other two are full-blown dumpster fire. So I think they're good. I just don't know if I would necessarily jump off the bandwagon quite yet. I think that's the AFC Championship game, and maybe the only team that can threaten that is Baltimore.
Yeah, I think they're going to be Super Bowl.
The Patriots defense is better than the Chiefs, and the Patriots will be able to score as many points as the Chiefs, and I think that's the difference.
Okay, fair enough. So I just was wondering.
West Coast.
It does seem like Holmes is just on this other level where, I mean, even Brady over the years, and he's the best of all time, arguably. And, but you can see him during games and he's got this, you know, where he's struggling and he's stepping up and getting hit and all this stuff. And this kid just seems to just, you know, he's shooting this jump shot after he throws a touchdown and he's just having fun. He's playing a Madden football game or something. You're right. And what a great analogy. It just seems so effortless, and it's frustrating because they're a scary team. They're the only team that I think right now has got the ability to beat, you know, to beat New England to go to the Super Bowl. And I think I can't wait to see that game. That game's going to be it's going to be one for the ages, I think.
I've been saying this. I mean, there's only one game for Kansas City, but okay, no, there's not. Kansas City needs to go 13-3, 15-1, because they really do need to get the Patriots in Arrowhead. If they have to go up there, the Patriots are going to another Super Bowl. And, you know, my whole existence in football is for somebody to crush. My favorite things is crush the Patriots. Beat that butt. And Kansas City, Andy Reid, that whole Midwest, I think they're looking for it. I hope they learned something from last year. And I think you circle that. You get the best record in the AFC. You get home field throughout. And you circle that. The other thing I'm hoping, I'm hoping Baltimore improves. Mm-hmm. I hope they improve. And I hope they get tough, because their coach is telling me that they want to fight. And they just want to beat your A. And I like it. Because I've seen them do it. And I've seen them go up to New England and whoop that butt. And if they can get there, okay, so and I'm going to hate it if the Patriots get in the Super Bowl. But if they get in the Super Bowl, and I'm going to hate them, and they go up against the Cowboys, here's what I want. I want Ezekiel Elliott to run 250 yards on that defense.
Wow.
And beat that team to sleep.
I'm just saying, don't sleep on Baltimore yet.
I don't want them in the Super Bowl. I don't want them in the Super Bowl. And if they get in there with the Cowboys, I want a total crushing. A total crushing.
You want
You talk about a Baltimore team that's going to be, like you said, going to be really physical. And there's two things about them. How are the officials going to officiate the game with Baltimore in a high leverage matchup with the Kansas City and in New England? Are they going to let them be New England-esque and beat up on wide receivers on the outside? If they do that, that's advantage Baltimore. And also, you talk about going to the Arrowhead and losing about 5 points, you know, to that Kansas City offense. I mean, that's still not a bad showing. I mean, he missed some throws in that game, or we might be having a wholly different conversation. So I'm not a Baltimore fan. They're in my division, but I'm going to give them credit for credit as due. If there's one team outside of those two that I think we all say are pretty much a lock almost to get to the AFC Championship game, is the fact that Baltimore is going to play good defense and they're going to run the ball, and you have the X factor on Lamar Jackson's legs also ability to run the ball. If he can tighten up that passing game from here towards the end of the season, they're going to be a problem.
Thomas Jackson.
Ooh. Yeah, I can agree with that. And then when you think about it, too, if you get into a bad weather kind of situation,
yes,
I think that sets up Baltimore for have more success than those two teams.
Mm-hmm.
Mobile quarterback, running the football, that will set them up for success. I mean, Mark Ingram is having a phenomenal year for them so far this year, too, along with that defense.
Yep.
Carl's. All right, gentlemen, it has been interesting to see the progression. I'm just going to comment and say that I think that Kansas City, they'll be Super Bowl. Man, that's me. So I'm not backing off of that one, man, because they look focused. I mean, like I said earlier, Andy Reid has to get that monkey off his back. And they're probably going to play the Patriots. That's what's going to happen. So it's going to align. That's how exactly it's going to happen. But you got to beat that squad to earn it. So there's no, again, cupcakes. We got about 18 minutes left in the show, guys. I do want to talk about a very interesting scenario. Everyone saw the breaking news sounder on the ESPN app, at least I did, about Daniel Jones getting the start. And you talked about just a couple things as far as the way the Giants have responded to Daniel Jones as quarterback. Playing phenomenal in the preseason. He's now the guy. And I guess we'll talk about him giving the Giants a bolt of energy that Eli couldn't do in that win. And then also, I guess, as we pack this up, who would you rather have, Daniel Jones or Kyle Murray? And again, we were all skeptical of the pick. We were like, what? And we often say that because, again, we saw that now. Again, I don't know if he saw what we didn't see, but, you know, GM, you got to give him credit now. So let's talk about that. You know, the drill started off with us at JQ for sure.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, Kyle Murray and his ability with his legs, I mean, and the tight end of the offense, the offensive line has got to do a better job because he is on the run for his life on every play. But he has the ability to escape, and that's part of the reason why you draft him, knowing he has the ability to be special and also the ability early on until you can do what you talked about with Dallas, maybe spend more draft picks and capital on the offensive line to shore it up in front of him. Until you do that, he has that ability to escape, and he still has a Hall of Fame wide receiver in Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk were quite like those two young guys can go together, and they could be a problem out there in the NFC West. So I personally would rather have Kyler Murray just because of his X factor in terms of running the ball, but you got to give Daniel Jones a ton of credit to come in, you know, and lose, you know, Saquon Barkley, which is a big blow. I mean, that's a precipitous drop off between him and Wayne Gallman. I mean, it is. It's just a really big. So he's going to have to shoulder more of the effort here moving forward. And you ain't going to play Tampa Bay every week either. And for the love of God, when you double-team Mike Evans, what are you doing? Mike Evans is a stud. You cannot leave Janoris Jenkins on him the whole game single up. He went for three touchdowns. But he gives them a shot in the arm.
I had him.
You get Sterling Shepard back. You're going to get Golden Tate back here after next week after he's got a four-game suspension, I believe. So now he's going to start getting reinforcements. Evan Ingram looks like he's the real deal at tight end. He's not going to block anybody, but in the passing game, he's going to be tough. So if he can go in there and do what he did against Tampa and just give that Giants fan base some hope moving forward, because Saquon is probably going to come back. He's a freak of nature. They say 8 weeks is the top end of that with the high ankle sprain, unless he elects to have surgery. But he's done enough that you say, you know what, you probably still could have got him in the second round, but if you find a quarterback that you believe is your guy and you got a grade on him and you don't want people to take him, you go get him. And Gettleman, for all the people calling him an a-hole and everything that he is, right now he's looking absolutely fantastic for getting Daniel Jones. I mean, and you talked about it, Rob. You got to accelerate that thing also for Saquon Barkley. What are you doing to make this team better to where it's not just me, where you're going to kill me? So I think Saquon gets to sit back and watch Daniel Jones lead that team, and he's probably going to be chomping at the bit to get back. You're going to get your wide receivers back. I think that's a good move for the Giants. I mean, they gave Eli a chance, but it was just time to move on. But if you're going to talk about Kyler Murray and Daniel Jones, I think Daniel Jones is still doing it. But if you give Kyler Murray an offensive line and another weapon or two, and the running back, I just forgot his name, I'm sorry, they just came back from a wrist injury. You know, like they have the makings of being able to have some explosiveness, especially in that air raid kind of offense. They want David Johnson, thank you. But they want to run in Arizona. I think he can be special in Arizona. I really do. But it's not a big, you know, I take about a whole lot over Daniel Jones off of what I've seen so far preseason and against Tampa. But I would take Kyler. But Daniel Jones, he looked the part, and he's making Gettleman look like a genius.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. We all on our show thought the Giants were stupid for taking him at the number 6 pick. And not only us, every sports talk show in America thought the Giants were stupid. And so the Giants fans think the Giants were stupid for taking Daniel Jones at the number 6 pick. But, man, you read the New York Times today, man, the fans are loving it.
Of course
they
are.
When I tell you they're loving Daniel Jones, it's unbelievable. The love affair that
he's
getting here right now. And
You can't take anything away from what he did. He played a great game. But we wouldn't be having this conversation if there was a decent kicker out there. Where's the conversation? We wouldn't even have it.
I think you still would. It just wouldn't be the same level of utopia. I hear what you're saying, though.
Now, here's the thing you got to look at here. I mean, Saquon Barkley got hurt in the end of the first half. And so he brought this 18-point come from behind victory without Saquon Barkley in the second half. That to me was the impressive thing about what he did. I mean, he did this without Saquon Barkley, and as we talked about on last week and as JQ just mentioned, I mean that is huge for Saquon Barkley and his confidence going forward with the Giants organization, based on what he saw. Daniel Jones put together in that game with 23 for 36, 336 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 two-point conversions, and he also ran for 2 touchdowns. He ran 4 times for 28 yards or 7 yards a carry. First rookie quarterback since the 1970 merger to have at least 300 yards passing, 2 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns in a single game. And that was an incredible debut for a quarterback. Now, you go back to Daniel Jones versus Kyler Murray. That's a tough one. And that's, I put that question out there. And I still don't know if I have an answer, even right now. I know draft night I would easily say Kyler Murray. I don't know if I can easily say that tonight. I think the thing that concerns me about Kyler Murray, we talked about the offensive line issues he have in Arizona, but his size. How many hits can he take at that size? That's the thing that concerns me a little bit about Kyler Murray. Talent-wise, he's got it. He's got the tools. He's a competitor. But I'm kind of leaning more toward Daniel Jones right now. I really am.
Because of the organization, not because of his individual talent, correct? Because if you're talking about the Giants, you're talking about overall a better organization than Arizona.
I think
so he's going to be put in
more. I think more so than anything is Kyler Murray's size. How long can he play with that size for any injuries and things of that nature? I think that's the thing that concerns me a little bit right now. Daniel Jones, you might get 16 years out of him. Kyler Murray might get 10 to 12.
It depends on Kyler Murray and his ability to get down and not try to make a home run play every play, because when you're young and you have that kind of athletic ability, you feel like you can be a world beater all the time and you take unnecessary hits. So I can understand your point on that. I honestly can. He's got to figure out a way to determine in terms of floor game, magnitude of game, right? Like there's some things you might be willing to risk in a playoff game that you're not going to risk on a 3rd and 10 in the second week of the season, because you got to make it through the end of the year. You know what I mean? So he's got to be able to figure those things out as he's working his way through his maturation as an NFL quarterback. Yes, his size is definitely a concern for me as well. We talked about it also on draft night, but his ability to make a play when things break down in front of him, especially with the way the offensive line is set right now. If we're being honest, the Dallas took what offensive lineman like 2 or 3 years in a row in the first round. So they've got at least a couple of years before you feel like the offensive line, even if they put that kind of draft capital into it, before it's solidified where you're like, okay, now Kyler Murray can just sit back there and he can do those things sporadically when he needs to, but he's going to have a solid offensive line. I just don't think that's going to be the case. So you have a valid point, Rob. It's just going to be how fast can he learn to get the hell down or get out of bounds and not take unnecessary hits.
Absolutely.
Yeah, unfortunately, history is not with Kyler Murray. Unfortunately, we haven't had that type of quarterback win just yet, and more of the Daniel Jones, that particular style, has done more. I mean, I'm rooting for Kyle, man. I'm a huge fan.
Right.
I'm not saying that.
You got to give credit to the Giants, because the Giants, they're smart people. They're organization people. They got it right.
Yes.
They saw something in him, and they saw the replacement for their two-time Super Bowl quarterback. They saw that in him.
They must have saw some serious
stuff. And then this guy has done. He can do more than. Eli can't do none of that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
How is Eli going to get to the end zone from 24 yards away? He's not. So,
mm-mm.
Got that. And on the flip side, when Rob told you for a rookie what this Daniel Jones did, Kyler Murray Sunday also set a record for the most pass attempts over 30 with the least amount of yards gained. I think he threw 33 times.
That's not a good
record. He broke a record. And there's a record of that. I think he got 124 yards out of 34 pass attempts.
Wow.
Yeah. But I think the interesting part that we're going to highlight is the fact that, I mean, you can see, like, if Daniel Jones was, like, killing it in college, and he kind of really wasn't. He was, you know, he was doing this thing, but, you know, you're like, all right. And then to make the pick, for him to play so well right now, you're like, wow. I mean,
yeah.
The Giants either must have just, like, they must have known something we didn't know, or they must have hit lightning in the bottom, man. That's the thing that's surprising, because you're like, wow.
That's,
you know,
you
because
took the words right out of
I'm
my
sure,
mouth, JQ.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, David Cutcliffe. Yeah, I mean, obviously, but
the coaching by David Cutcliffe.
Yeah, and now if you're like NFL teams, you're probably all right. Let's keep an eye on David Cutcliffe and the next quarterback. He may be producing quarterback university again, quarterback U. But you know, again, it's just one of the situations. So give him props, and that should be highlighted as well. So speaking of this,
and I joked on draft night about. You know, you don't draft a football player from Duke in the first round. You only draft a, you know, first round.
That's what we're talking about.
But,
that's what we're talking about.
I remember that.
But if you really look at it, and as Curtis mentioned, the Giants trusted their process, and you got to give them credit for it. And they did a real deep dive evaluation on the player because, you know, you have to remember that he wasn't necessarily surrounded with the best personnel there at Duke. When you look at the offensive line. Yeah. So you have to do a real deep dive on the player. And sometimes that's hard to do from an evaluation standpoint when you're not set up for success with, you know, the type of personnel around him. So, number one, he did not have a great offensive line at Duke. He did not have a ton of weapons at Duke. I mean, they got by with his play and David Cutcliffe. I mean, they were competitive. I mean, we went to a bowl game, but they weren't great. And when they played against the Clemsons of the world and the great competitions in the world, they just weren't set up for success. And when you turn on the tape, NFL, most NFL scouts are going to want to look, well, how did he play against such and such competition? But he wasn't set up to have success because the rest of his personnel on his team, he just didn't have it. And so you got to credit the Giants for doing a real deep dive evaluation and spent a lot of time with him doing the evaluation process to possibly see something great in him.
Like you said, David Cutcliffe, quarterback you, that's the thing. All right, we got about 5 minutes here. I want to get through this last topic, and we're going to fantasy shout-outs, and we got to get ready to wrap up the show, get some college football, or excuse me, do some predictions here. Speaking of quarterbacks, we're still on this. Is Lamar Jackson the real deal? We talk about the not natural move, Kyler Murray. Those haven't been as successful. And then you kind of have Lamar Jackson. It's kind of like almost a wild card right now. He put the work in. You can see him putting the work in. It's awesome to see him do that. So the question is, gentlemen, is he the real deal? So you know how the drill works. You know, JQ, Rob, and West Coast, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think the jury's still out on that because he's electric with his legs. I mean, he's absolutely electric. And he sees holes and the ability to make it through there. But also the same thing is that you don't let him take unnecessary hits and not rely too much on those legs. And he missed some throws in that Kansas City game. And, I mean, that just has to be talked about. So I can't necessarily say that he's the real deal for me right now. Do I think he's trending in the right direction to be the real deal? Absolutely. You talk about his pocket presence from last year to this year. You can tell that he was in there putting in the work and looking at game film and trying to get better at it. But he's still a work in progress in the passing game. And as a quarterback, you can run as well as you want to run. But there's times on 3rd-and-7 in a big game where you're not going to be able to run the ball. You're going to have to be able to put that ball in a tight window on that slant, on that go route, and you got to put it there and to keep the chains moving. I don't know if I can put money on him doing that consistently yet, especially in high leverage kind of playoff situations. So I'm gonna say I don't know for right now, but I think that he could get there. I really do.
Trending up. Okay. Cool.
I'm gonna go ahead and say yes, he is a real deal. Even already, yes, he did miss some throws in that Kansas City game. Absolutely. But he just keeps. He's gonna keep in every football game. He's electric. He's a playmaker. But if we talked about Kyler Murray from a staying healthy standpoint. He as well has got to be smart, taking care of his body, knowing when to get down and not take the unnecessary hits. Man, that run he had at the end of the fourth quarter, man, that was phenomenal.
Woo.
And he's an electric football player. And he has got – overall, I think he has gotten better. You got to remember, I mean, as a rookie last year, he took this Ravens team on his back and took them to the playoffs. He had a running game, of course, and a good defense. And as a rookie last year, and already he's got, I mean, based on what we see after 3 games, it's a short sample size so far. But the Ravens look like the front runners to win the division again, his second year in the league. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say he is the real deal. I mean, is he the best quarterback in the league? No. But is he going to keep them competitive in every game? Absolutely.
If, you know, and again, I'm going to say organizational-wise, I'm going to say scouting-wise, and an organization going after the guy that they want. The organization going after a guy. I'm shaking my head, and I'm getting ready to stumble and fall off a cliff here. Because Joe Flacco wasn't the guy. And he's on my other favorite team, and Joe Flacco is not the guy. Ah! But anyway, that organization went for their person, and they believed in their person. And I think that organization talked to him. Look, guy. You're our guy. Whatever you got to do to get ready to be our guy, please do it. And I think they hit a home run.
They moved back in the draft twice and still got him. Think about that from an organizational standpoint. They were so good at moving back in the first round, they still moved back and still got him. That's crazy.
Yep. You hear that sound? It means that we're at the 2-minute mark.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to be back at you live on next Wednesday. Next week, we're going to be on the air on Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Central. I'm sorry, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Once again, Wednesday night next week, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. We're going to be with you on Wednesday night. Stay tuned. Click on the same link on tomorrow and the rest of the week. You get the rest of our show tonight, our OT portion. We can't give you that portion of the show live. We got more football, pro football, and college to go here in our OT portion, so you don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all. You definitely want to download this link tomorrow because we're going to talk about some Saints and some Cowboys. Ooh, that's going to be a good conversation in OT. You definitely want to listen to that one. I'm just gonna sit back and listen. I'm telling you, like, I'm just gonna be a fan right now listening to them talk about it. I appreciate y'all for listening to the show.
They got tickets for that game going for $10,000 online.
Oh my God! Yeah, see, craziness. We appreciate y'all, good people. Download this link tomorrow so you can get the rest of this good football talk. We'll holler at you next Wednesday.
It's always big money when the Cowboys come to town.
Yeah,
can I say it again? America's team.
Oh, God.
Oh, we go. Y'all might be America's team. Shot. The Saints, we the world team, baby.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my
okay.
God. Oh, my. Please beat them. Please beat them, guys. I'm just saying.
Don't worry, we will.
Okay. I'm just saying. I gotta say,
how you root for the Cowboys?
Anyone but the Saints.
Are you playing the Saints?
You know,
right.
But I will say this: I actually absolutely respect, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, what he accomplished. And again, I don't think anyone gave the Saints a chance in Seattle. So you talk about a phenomenal game. It was like, wow. And again, you're just hoping. As a Falcons fan, we're pissed. We're like, man, what the hell? You know, come on, man. And then they pull it out, man. And, just an interesting game. I know you Saints fans are happy. Congrats. So, you know, there's got to be a reckoning at some point somehow. But we'll talk about that later. Before we do that, I wanted to get the Spanish shout-outs on the live portion. So can we get those Spanish shout-outs now? Even though I hate doing it in this time, but it was just too good to talk about Lamar Jackson. So go ahead, Rob, and we'll get into some predictions really quickly for the next set here.
All right, really quick to our fantasy shout-outs for the week. And our league number one, Paul from Atlanta, his team, Monsters of the Midway, beat Andre's team, straight cash, homie, 156.78 to 125.24.
That's
he had the biggest win of the weekend. And also his team
in
first place at 3-0, Monsters of the Midway. League number two, Sean from Atlanta, Black and Gold Patrol. His team had the biggest win of the week. He beat Boxcar Willie 02, 170.26 to 112.86. And Matthew from Indianapolis, his team is in first place, Fleur de Lis at 3-0. League number three, Andre's team's on the good side of this one, had the biggest win of the week. Andre's Rise Up Falcons beat the L's Cole Holics. 162.12 to 96.76. Sean in Atlanta, his team NOLA for life, is 3-0 and in first place. And Andre's team again had the biggest win of the week in league number four. Beat his wife, man. That don't sound like beating your wife.
I was gonna say really quickly, y'all pray for me because it's been a rough week, man. Already, so y'all pray for me, man, because it was rough, man. So I just wanted to really throw that out there because I don't want to beat her, but I was like, man, you know, again, just y'all pray for me.
Yes,
man.
You did.
It's been a rough week, man. Yeah, go ahead, say that. Go ahead, Rob.
And then he put 206.68 points on him, man.
Oh my God!
I need y'all prayers, man. It's been a rough week, man. Y'all have no idea.
Jeez.
I'm serious.
You are praying for Thursday night.
Man,
you praying for Thursday night? You need a new week to start.
I know. For real. I gotta pray for me, man.
Oh man.
No loving. I'm not getting any loving. I'm not getting anything, man.
Varsity team is still in first place of league. So shout out to Marcy. Her team's still in first place. Baby got backfield at 2-1. She's still in first place in the league. So those are your fantasy shout outs for the week.
Did you guys ever see the show The League? You ever watch The League? Have you ever seen that show before?
I have.
You ever heard that show before? Okay, that's what it reminds me of. Like the wife, they're going back and forth, man. That show is hilarious. Anyway, I digress. Good job on that. And it was rough for a minute there, even though I tried to do some comebacks. And your boy, I think, he had like Patrick Mahomes or something. I knew that was going to be like a loss, something crazy. I forget, he had somebody that was like just killing it. So anyway, all good. Let's move on here to the most exciting part of the evening here. And we're going to try to wrap this up in like 20 minutes, guys. So please don't talk too long. I do want to talk about a couple things here, but we got to get to the predictions here. I would be remiss if I did not want to start off with – should we do it first, JQ, or should we just, like, say that for the end? Because the Patriots.
No, say that one for the end. Say that one for the end.
Oh man.
Say that one for the end.
Just be fast.
Say that one for the end.
We got about 20 minutes, man. We can't be like talking for 30 minutes.
We can do the other ones quick. We can do the other ones quick.
All right. Really quick, guys, be quick, because again, I know we want to get everyone for the East Coasters here. So really quickly, do the Patriots at the Bills. Go around, like, guys, be fast, because we got to say, because y'all going to talk 20 minutes for the freaking Cowboys and Saints. So damn it, and then we got to do some quick college football just to wrap this up too. So damn it, be fast. Go ahead, Patriots, Bills. Go ahead, JQ, Rob,
Patriots,
fast.
Okay. Come on, man, Patriots.
Patriots. Patriots on the road.
West Coast.
Patriots on the road.
Yeah, I hope it's competitive, and I hope Buffalo plays their butts off.
Uh-oh. Okay.
All right,
Antonio Brown's going to have an impact on the squad. No, Bill. No, I'm joking. Chiefs at Lions. Damn it.
yeah. No,
on
definitely.
The road again. Lions undefeated. But right. Chiefs on the road with a win.
Yep.
Wow. Road games. Go ahead. West Coast?
Oh, I'm going with the Chiefs.
Yeah, you got it. Like I said, we want the Chiefs to go 13-3. So they have to beat the fourth place team in that division.
100%. All right. Vic, Vikings at Bears. The game.
Ooh. That's
a tough one here for me.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
I'm I took the Vikings on the road to beat the Packers, and I was, you know, trying to be wrong, but I'm going to take the Vikings on the road again. I just think they're a better team, and I think they find a way to win this game in Chicago close, 24-20.
Wow.
Yeah, I take the Vikings as well, because we talked about it, but Trubisky has not been great, and the wide receiver, I forget his name, he caught 3 touchdowns. He's in concussion protocol. That's the biggest reason for me, because if he doesn't play
Taylor
in that
Gabriel.
Game, that's definitely – Taylor Gabriel, yeah. It definitely tilts it to Minnesota. So based off what I see right now with him being in concussion protocol, I'm going Minnesota.
Interesting.
Man, do the Bears regret passing on Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes and taking Mitch Trubisky? That's another question for another week.
That's a great
topic.
I didn't even think about that. Wow. They pass.
All right,
they
Curtis.
It's going to have to be Cousins. Kirk Cousins has to prove to the world that he's a better quarterback and he's a better paid quarterback than Mitch Trubisky. So, Kirk Cousins, don't blow this. Get it done.
Hey,
I'm going with the Vikings as well.
Go get your cousin, by the way. Man, no one's going for the Bears. Okay, yeah, interesting. Did they really pass on them, Rob?
All road
teams
so far.
To get the... They really had opportunity to get him, huh? Wow, they passed him. Wow, I forgot. I got to look at that draft. Oh, my God. Yeah, somebody's getting fired. Hey, all right. We have arrived.
No, here we go.
Cowboys at the Saints. $10,000 for a ticket.
That's crazy.
Wow.
They are tickets online going for $10,000.
As
wow.
me and Jake,
yes,
you said, we're going to sit back and be a fan here. So, Rob, you get your first shot.
My wife and
West
I
Coast.
Will be there.
Go ahead.
But after seeing those tickets, I'm wondering if we should put them up for sale.
You probably should put them up for sale and buy the whole season tickets, Rob. You should do that, bro. Straight up, man. I'm just giving you friendly
we'll
advice.
We'll be in the house. We'll be in the dome. But, you know, looking at the Saints situation here with the Seahawks, obviously that was a game I did not expect the Saints to go on the road and win. But as it turns out, when you really do a deep dive into that matchup, the Saints were better than the Seahawks at every position except quarterback and linebackers. So it shouldn't be a surprise that they were able to win that game even on the road. However, when you look at the matchup against the Cowboys, they don't have the dominance as far as they don't have that kind of dominance over the Seahawks like they do it. They don't have that kind of dominance over the Cowboys like they have against the Seahawks, and they have a backup quarterback in this game. So I think this one's even going to be even tougher for the Saints, even though the game is at home, unfortunately. And I hate to say it. I hate the Cowboys, but I have to predict the Cowboys to win this game, even coming into the Superdome to win this game. I think, you know, right, like I said, they got a backup quarterback.
And the talent, there's no talent disparity like it was between the Saints and the Seahawks. I mean, the Saints' offensive line just dominated the Seahawks' defensive line. Zero sacks with those edge rushers and Clowney and Ziggy. And the Seahawks had zero sacks in that football game. But like I said, the dominance, the Cowboys got a great offensive line. Saints got a great offensive line. There's not a talent disparity. And we have a backup quarterback who was solid, not spectacular. He was solid. And the Saints was able to get a defensive touchdown and a special team touchdown in that game against the Seahawks, too. So we have to put that in perspective. They're going to have – I'm pulling for the Saints, no doubt about it. But in order for them to win, they're going to have the same kind of performance. They're going to have a defensive touchdown, possibly a special teams touchdown again. And that's hard to ask for. So I'm going to go, unfortunately, I'm going to pick the Cowboys 31-21 over the Saints.
Go ahead, West Coast. You go with you.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say something. That's how when you're a team going on the road in a hostile environment, that's how you do it. In college, high school, and pro, you go in and you punch them in the mouth. Seattle, before they knew it, they were down 14-0.
Yep.
They took their first series, punted. New Orleans was in the end zone. Oh, no. Okay, hand it to our stud. Somebody punches the ball out of his hands, pick it up, touchdown. Now you're reeling. And we talked about Drew Brees. What I saw in that game, the best player on the field, on that field was Alvin Kamara. Was a stud, and he beat Seattle up, especially once they got that lead. Alvin Kamara, you're our stud. Get it done.
Yeah.
Now, coming back to this.
I tell you quietly, he was another MVP for the Saints in that game. And that was a punter, Tommy Barnhart. the punter. The punter for the Saints. Man, he flipped the field. And the Seahawks were starting every drive almost inside the 5, inside the 10-yard line. And he averaged 55 punts. And then his net was 52, and the net was even more important. So, man, he was pinning Seattle. And the Saints fans, we forget how good of a punter he is because the Saints offense historically is just so good, we don't punt that much. And so we forget what kind of weapon he was. And he was after Kamara, he was the second MVP in that game for the Saints. But I'm sorry, Curtis.
Yeah, no, you're right. And again, I want to say, when you're a rogue team going into a hostile environment, boy, did they nail me being a coach, how I want my rogue team to do on every football level when you go into a hostile environment. You do it just like they did it. And it was, like I said, they jumped on Seattle quick. And when you go in a hostile environment and you punch them in the mouth and you're in the end zone 2 and 3 times before they even figure it out, you got them.
So you're trying to say you're going to punch them in the mouth? Is that what you're going to say? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What's the bottom line here?
Yeah, the Cowboys are going to win that game. Our quarterback, this is where he starts backing up the Brinks truck to Jerry. Uh-oh. He goes out and goes in that and the other quiet thing about it, there might be more Cowboy fans in that Superdome than New Orleans fans.
Never.
Maybe on Bourbon
Street. Wow. Oh, well, that maybe, but not, well, not at the game.
Not in New Orleans. That will never happen in New Orleans, Curtis. That will happen in the other stadiums, but not in New Orleans. That
no,
will never happen
no.
in New Orleans.
Hell no.
You don't know how crazy Gary Hatton fans are.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think it's going to be a I think it's going to be a close race.
That's funny. That's funny. Oh my God.
I will say this, I think it's going to be a closer game than what Rob says. I think that the Saints, even, you know, even with their backup quarterback, I think they're going to give the Cowboys a good fight. I think the Cowboys are going to win maybe 24-21, something like that. I don't think it's going to be a 10-point game. I hope it is, but I don't think it's going to be. That's a tough place to play. And, you know, there'll be a lot of Cowboy fans there. A lot of people rooting for
us.
There's
going to be some.
Hey, listen. that's crazy talk. There's going to be Cowboy fans in New Orleans for the game, but they ain't going to be outnumbering Saints fans in the actual dome. They might be outside watching at
that
the
bar.
That
will never happen.
You are right.
That's funny.
And so, just to make my brief, Dre, and I'll kick it back to you. Everything says you should root for the, you should not root for the Cowboys, but you should pick the Cowboys with New Orleans having a backup quarterback in there, and as well as the Cowboys have played. But I don't know if I can recall a time that we picked a game where somebody, Team X, was going to New Orleans, and I picked Team X to win in New Orleans. That's just an incredibly tough place to play. I think they rally around. I think you maybe get some more Taysom Hill kind of packages in that game. I understand that, but picking against the Saints in the Superdome, it's hard for me to pick against them. The same way I was shocked that New Orleans went to Seattle, beat Seattle. I can't pick. I normally don't pick Seattle at home against Seattle at home. So for me, I think it's a 3-point game, like you said, Gary. But I'm gonna take the Saints 27-24.
I hope JQ's right. I hope I'm wrong.
Are you kissing up? Are you kissing up to Rob, JQ? Come on, bro.
I'm just saying. Go back and check the tape. I don't think there's been any game where Team X, no matter how good or bad they were going to New Orleans and we picked them. And I said, you know what? They're going to go into New Orleans and win that game. There are certain places that just have. I just can't pick a team that has a road to go to win. New Orleans is one. Seattle is one. Arrowhead is one for Kansas City. New England is one. Were you saying you're picking that team to go into that stadium with that fan base and that matches they always kind of create at home? It's just hard. I mean, does it happen on occasion? Yeah, but if you look at the numbers, I'm going to stick with New Orleans. I could be wrong, but I'm going to go with New Orleans.
The reason why Jakey's doing that, he's picking Ohio State. He's picking Ohio State. That's all he's picking. So it's all good. That's what's happening right now. So we'll let him have a moment there. That's the reason why he's going that direction. Hey, all right. We really want to – that was great. That was great, gentlemen. Way to wrap it up quickly and get right to the point, too. I love it. Good job, Gary. Good job, Curtis. I'd like to really quickly let JQ have the floor about Justin Fields and Ohio State kind of dazzling. And then we're going to keep the last kind of topics open because, again, for the sake of the East Coasters, we want to kind of wrap up the show. We kind of stay within, you know, 20, 30 minutes here, if you will. There's some great upsets, SMU upsetting TCU, you know,
that's
Georgia, you know, doing their thing. I'm just saying that's what's on the topic list. And then the way that Notre Dame and Georgia, they put up a fight with Georgia, obviously, you know, pulled away. And then obviously you got the Auburn at Texas A&M. That was some interesting recaps, if you will. So at this juncture, I'm going to let you guys kind of wrap up. I would like to, Rob, keep the topic for the NBA stars and the Team USA returning for next week, but that's your call. I'm going to hold that. But that's just me because there's so much to talk about as far as that as well, since NBA season is right around the corner as well. So, again, I'll let JQ do that. And then everyone else, pick a topic you guys want to talk about, and then we'll wrap up the show as we always do. And then hopefully we'll keep it succinct. And we got about 10 minutes here, so go ahead with that.
Yeah, I just don't think it's upset. Nobody expects anything from TCU. That's a Texas backyard fight. I'm not surprised that SMU won. I was surprised that Wisconsin handled Michigan and the Mariners. They handled them, and I just didn't want to let that go back because it wasn't like it was a 3-point game where it went back and forth. Wisconsin just beat the brakes off of Michigan, and I know it's a Camp Randall and all those things, but my word, that was, to me, was unexpected. Notre Dame-Georgia game, I think, was about what I expected to be. Defensive in the first half, kind of, you know, punching, counter-punching, trying to fill each other out, and then, you know, going down to the wire. But that Ohio State game, to me, was a team that was already looking ahead to going to Nebraska. That game, I told you before, it worries me. Now it's at night on ABC next week. In Nebraska, they have more talent than Nebraska, but what we just talked about, if you go into hostile territory on the road, to your point, Curtis, can they go in there and punch them in the mouth and be up 14-0 and take that crowd totally out of it? I think that's what they have to do to try to kind of get that victory, or if they let Nebraska hang around, that's going to be trouble. But Justin Fields is, so far, has been as advertised. They got off to a sleepy start against Miami because I think they were already looking ahead. If you look at that, they were down 5-0, and then they scored 76 unanswered points against Miami, right. Ohio. Like, that's just, it's just ridiculous. He has 6 touchdowns in the second quarter. He showed you what he could be, but he also, you know, is the thing that worries me about him is that he just hasn't had enough reps, you know, with the conditions of being the favorite game in and game out, and saying, okay, now this is your show. You're not sharing it with Jake Fromm. You're not coming in for special practices. This is your show from beginning to end. We're only going to go as far as you're going to take us, and that's what some of my concern is about it in Nebraska. I think they should win, but if we talk about next week and they've lost, it'd be because Justin Fields just wasn't ready for prime time quite yet. So I was encouraged by the 6 touchdown quarter after the sleepy start, but we find out for real, this Saturday night in Lincoln.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, you talked about the Michigan.
Go ahead, Rob.
You talk about the Michigan Wisconsin game. You know, in this day and age when every team is running a spread offense and Wisconsin is still playing football with a fullback and playing old school
mm-hmm.
football, and man, they just punched Michigan, as Curtis said, in the mouth all day long. They punched them in the mouth for 4 quarters. And man, they pounded that rock down their throat. 359 yards rushing on 57 carries. And not only did they control the line of scrimmage on the offense, defense, they pressured Michigan quarterbacks on 40% of their dropbacks. And they dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. They had the ball for 41 of the 60 minutes of that football game. It was a complete annihilation of, you know, I was watching the LSU-Vanderbilt game, but flipping back over to that one too. And, I mean, that was a complete annihilation of the way Wisconsin handled that game. Incredible. Auburn, I mean, yeah, that's a team I have to start looking out for. A road victory, they're playing phenomenal defense. Their defensive line is incredible. Nix wasn't spectacular at the quarterback position, but, you know, Gus Malzahn always got a bag of tricks up his sleeve when you play against that team. And, I mean, he wasn't spectacular, but they got the job done. An impressive road victory over Texas A&M in that football game. A couple of predictions of college football. Virginia at number 10, Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame bounced back, win that game at home. USC at Washington. USC is a team actually is playing better than what I expected of them this year so far. I mean, they got a tough of a loss against BYU. And that's an unacceptable loss. I mean, they beat Utah at home the other night, but I don't see them going on the road and winning Seattle and beat Washington. I really don't. Jacob Eason has been phenomenal so far this year for Washington, and so he's proven that he's improved his accuracy as well. He's got a strong arm. He's got the size. I don't see USC going on the road and win this game. So I know we picked a lot of road teams in the NFL. But I'm going with the home teams in college of these two teams, Washington and Notre Dame. And the punter for the Saints is Thomas Morstead. I went back 20 to 30 years with Tommy Barnhart. But
yes, you did.
Thomas Morstead. Sorry about that.
That Michigan game had me thinking, who is Harbaugh recruiting? I think Harbaugh's safe, but that guy is getting paid almost $8 million a year, and Michigan wasn't ready for anything.
Nope.
And Harbaugh, how did either you don't have good recruits or you didn't get that team ready? And whatever it is, you're supposed to be a better coach than that.
Yeah,
that's my thought there. And one thing, and I'm going to be with you, Washington should win that game. But this is the West Coast. This is the Pac-12. And the one thing that USC does to the people in the Pac-12, USC has a huge history of going into places in this Pac-12 conference and breaking people's hearts. They really do. This could be a trap game for Washington. It really could be. And if USC is ready, and I've seen them do this, even in their down years, they can come into your house and break your heart. And boy, that's going to be a really good college football game. And I also want to mention, I think Thursday is going to be a really good game in the NFL. And, you know, of course, I hope Green Bay gets it done. And that's just going to give the Cowboys more and more ammunition to win that division.
All right. That wide receiving core for USC is serious. And they just beat the brakes off the Utah secondary. I mean, they just were going up and getting the high point in the ball and just coming down with it. That's their only opportunity, I think, in that Washington game. That half line, kind of throw it down the field, throw it up. The third-string quarterback for USC, we were talking about on the text message, he was just throwing darts against Utah.
Yep.
But he's still a third-string wide receiver quarterback to come back to earth on the road. And Washington has been very impressive. I think they got two offensive linemen that are projected to be like first or second-round picks. So can Washington take the air out of the ball and kind of ground that USC offense by keeping them on the sideline? So I think that's going to be a really good game. I wouldn't be shocked to have USC win that game. But, you know, with Easton with that offensive line, if they can control the clock and make a third-string quarterback make mistakes, they can win that game.
Yeah, Easton's not been playing well, man. It's been crazy.
Yeah. I think Easton is an upgrade on the quarterback that Washington had there. I can't remember his name. He started for Washington like last three years. But I think Easton is definitely an upgrade. And Washington was, you know, winning Pac-12 championships with another kid at quarterback. But to me, Easton is an even upgrade over him, big-time upgrade.
Yeah. Let's keep a little quick note here as we wrap this up. You know, I think word on the street, this may affect you too, JQ, and the fact that the word on the street is that Urban Meyer may be coming back to college football, but he wants to go to a situation where he will have the opportunity to win a national championship sooner than later.
USC.
So USC is definitely what you're hearing. But, yeah, just keep an eye on that rumor as well. All right, gentlemen.
And Rob,
you want to wrap? Go ahead.
I was saying, you got Reggie Bush and the quarterback. They're sitting on set with him every week like, hey, man, you want to go to USC? USC, bro. USC. Like, he's got them. You know they're talking to him about that on set every Saturday on the Fox set. So, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. That might happen.
Yeah. You mentioned that, but that is the place that people are tying them to. Everybody, if he does come back, that's the place where people are tying them to. They say there's no way in the world to go to Michigan, but USC is the place that he would consider. Absolutely.
Gotcha. Wow. And like you said, just to wrap that same thing, Curtis, Jim Harbaugh, he may
Leonard.
Be in trouble, man. Yeah, Leonard, yeah. Jay, he may be – we know he's definitely in trouble, man, because right now the way Michigan is playing, I don't know. Yeah, you haven't shown any progress. You've been getting the brakes beat off of you by Ohio State, which is putting JQ in a good place. But, you know, they don't do anything this year, you know, so it's just, the folks in Michigan, they're not happy right now. I don't care how many, how far back you have started your alma mater. Anyway, that's my two cents.
Yeah.
Rob, go ahead and have to show it, bro.
Just one other comment on Michigan real quick is that, you know, the last few years, you were seeing a slight progression in the program. But this year, it seemed like they've taken about 10 steps backwards. I mean, it's horrific, though. I mean, they got their ass kicked in
horrific.
That game on Saturday. And, I mean, that was a butt-whipping. And
that was beyond sneaking up the place. That damn thing burnt the house down.
Did you? Watching
wow.
that, is, you, it has to be real concerning for Michigan fans. And because, like I said, even the last few years, you were seeing slight progressions, not as fast as they would like, but they've taken 10 steps backwards this season. They do not look like a good football team at all. I mean, I can't remember, was that Army that took them to overtime? And
double
overtime.
Yeah.
Field goal?
Yeah.
Double overtime.
I watched that. And that tells
double.
You something. Those guys are soldiers. Those guys aren't really real football players. They're going to be officers in the military. And you can't run over that team? Wow.
This Michigan team looked like a 6-5, 7-4 kind of team, or 7-5 kind of team as of right now. They do not look like a good football team at all. With that being said, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I know we talked a lot of football, and rightfully so. A lot happening in the National Football League and the college football world. We're going to be back on the air on Wednesday night next week. Wednesday night, I'll be calling in from Orlando, keeping you up to date on Orlando Magic training camp down there. But I'll be keeping you posted from Orlando on next week. Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss it on next week. We'll recap more football, of course, NFL and college football, and get you ready for the following weekend as well. Good night, people. Happy football weekend.
Yes, sir. And y'all pray for me because I will be a nervous wreck here on Saturday night. I don't think I'm going to go anywhere and watch the game, but I'll probably just be in these in my house in the living room pacing like a caged tiger watching that football game, hoping my Buckeyes survive a road test that I need to see them survive. I need to see how thrilled they are in terms of, you know, and listen, you go into Lincoln, Nebraska on the road on Saturday night, and they're going to have some kind of blackout or some other kind of, you know, get the crowd hype kind of situation. They're going to be drinking all day. They're going to be ready. And I already know that, but I need to see them perform in that kind of situation, because if you can't do that, then you have no shots against the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Clemsons of the world. So that all being said, I'll be a nervous wreck. Y'all pour a drink out for your boy, because I'll be in here acting a fool. My wife and I will probably leave the house so I can be in here by myself, because I'll be screaming and acting a fool. So I appreciate all the thoughts and prayers y'all can send me. And you guys enjoy your week and enjoy your football. I absolutely do. I'm a nervous wreck. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, I don't think you have anything to worry about. I'm gonna say Houston, LA Dodgers. Are you ready? Houston, LA Dodgers. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Am I missing
that time? No, it's playoff time. It's playoff. Are they gonna make it? I hear them. Are you ready? They're the favorites in both the AL and NL, I think, right now. The Yankees are right behind them. But that Houston team, especially getting Grinky, he's right. Are you ready?
Houston's got the starting pitching. The Yankees got a better bullpen. So that's going to be you have to see if the Yankees could get the starting pitching and go with their bullpen. But go Yankees. And go Saints. Who that?
Who that nation? Who that nation?
Oh my gosh!
But it might be Cowboy. It might be Cowboy Town.
Again, I want to thank you, everyone, for listening to the game.
That's gonna be
a lot of luck.
I'm gonna hope for the best.
Wow,
gonna be fine.
All right, gentlemen. It's been a great week, man. We appreciate you guys putting in the work. Rob, thank you for the great topics. Again, JQ, thanks for adding a lot of good diatribes to the situation. Curtis and Gary, appreciate your insight as well, keeping us laughing on our toes as always, man. So again, have a great week. Pray for me, man, for tomorrow, man, so I can have a nice calm household here as well, man. But anyway, guys, be good.
You guys get some sleep.
We will.
You guys get some sleep.
Great week.
You put up 206 points on it.
Yeah, I know. That's
Rob,
that's a whooper.
I don't need you to keep
how you run up
me,
the score
man.
On them, man. You know, sometimes you got to take
man.
It.
Man, I didn't expect it. I didn't expect it to end it.
He in first place.
So.
Bump that. He in first place.
Man.
You got to get that win.
Oh, man. If my grandma's playing against me, I'm going to throw up 7 times. Nah, it's all good. You guys are great, man. Anyway, keep it going, guys. Keep those hilarious texts going. And, again, have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you next week. Be good.
Yes, sir, y'all.
Yes, sir.
Good night, people.